This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't have you wave at everybody down your aisle. So even though my clock is running, it's okay. Let's have our smiling exercise. Wave at everybody down your row. If you don't know the name of the person you're sitting next to, find out their name and then tell them your name, because you wouldn't want to sit for an entire 20-some minutes while I teach and not know their name. Amen? All right. All right. So everybody on the count of three, if you're believing for more than enough, I want you to say more than enough on the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three.
More than enough.
More than enough is God's will for your life. Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above not some, but all that we ask or think, according to what class? The power that works on the inside of us. God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. All right? Faith is the key. It is the main ingredient. It's the currency of the kingdom. And you have to learn how to use your faith, not just in some areas, but in every area of your life. Talking to one of my pastor friends, and man, when we get to talking about faith, like, you know, we dive in, right? And that's one thing that we've learned. You got to ask pastors, you know, having a, you know, just a bunch of different members and believing for things. It's amazing how you can have faith in one area, but not have faith in another area. And so the whole goal is to learn to develop your faith so you can use it in every area of your life, right? And so John 10 and 10 teaches us that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says, to the full till it overflows. So you have to know that God wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to live an incredible life, and you've got to know that it's okay for you to live an incredible life. This is not what people call prosperity mumbo jumbo. This ain't nothing to do with this. This is the word of God and God wanting you to live an incredible life. All right. My definition for the abundant life is real simple. It is living a life in the will of God. And we know that his will is his word, right? So it's really living in the word, right? Living a life in the will of God where you are overcoming every adversity and having all of your physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial needs met in abundance. You got it? And so that's why too many times people take this and focus on just money. And of course, you need money to pay your bills and all those kind of things, but it's really living a life in the will of God, which is his word, where you're overcoming every adversity, anything that's coming your way. Your physical, your emotional, your spiritual, and your financial needs are all being met. It's the total package of having nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. And you have to know this is not pastor's plan. This is God's plan for your life. Does that make sense? And to the degree that you believe, it becomes possible for you. And my job is to keep developing you in faith and keep stretching your faith so that your faith can grow exceedingly, so your faith can grow more and more, so that you don't have just faith to get a good interest rate on the car, that you have faith that the car can be paid off. You understand? Like, that is the goal for me to keep. Now, if you're going to give me a good clap, give me a good clap. But that is the goal. Does that make sense? Because it takes the same process of faith to believe for a piece of bread as it does a loaf of bread, right? I was talking to my pastor, Pastor Taylor, yesterday, and we were having lunch together, and we were talking about just the word, and he was asking me, you know, just different questions. Did Jesus do this and those kind of things? And we were just discussing things, and, you know, we got into the whole thing about faith, and it is amazing how we can have faith for one thing but not have faith for something else. And you have to learn how to have faith for every, like, you can have faith for the new car and to pay it off, but you don't have faith to get on a plane and fly to Cancun because you're scared, right? So, and that's just nothing but a spirit of fear. And what happens is, how do I know I'm in fear? You make excuses. Because planes getting up and flying all day, all night, 7 days a week, right? And so you have to readily recognize, no, that's fear trying to grip me. So I have to get in faith and say, no, you got it. It's just amazing. And I'm not knocking you, please don't understand. But it's my job to teach you, to develop you, to get you to understand that's just the spirit of fear. You understand? And so you have to use your faith in every area of your life. Several years ago, I was at a very low point in my life. You got it. I was living holy. I love God, you know, I was doing the right things, but I had a lot of questions, you got it? I had questions like John 10:10, it says that, the thief comes not to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly. I wasn't experiencing the abundant life, so I had questions about that. The Bible talks about, you know, how he wants to give me more and more, but I wasn't getting more and more, and so I had a lot of questions. I began to learn the word of faith, and it radically changed my life. I learned that the Bible was full of prophecy, promises, and principles, and for every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, that there's a faith process to bring it to pass. I learned that the will of God was not automatic, that God needed my permission and my participation to usher his will into my life, because God is not magical, however he's sovereign. And to the degree I will take his word and apply it in my life, I would get results. And so I learned the principle of giving, which radically changed my life. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a little while. And the reason I want to talk to you about giving is if we're believing God for more than enough, we have to understand, according to the word of God, that there's corresponding action that must take place if I'm going to receive more than enough. Does that make sense? I just can't get excited because Pastor Chad came and he said, God's going to do it. God's going to do his part, but I got to make sure I'm doing my part. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, my pastor, he began to teach on giving when I was in some really tough times. And my pastor didn't teach on series for 3 weeks like I do, or maybe 4 weeks. My pastor would teach 3 months and 4 months. You got it? And we were in like a 4-month series on giving. And I'm so glad he had the conviction to do that, because during that, I was always a giver. My father taught me to tithe off of birthday money. So it wasn't that I didn't understand the principle. It was that the light bulb came on for me and my faith was increased. And I took it to the next level. I really believe those that really live in abundance are the ones that really have a desire to be a blessing to other people. Let me explain that to you, all right? When I didn't really have, I didn't go in prayer for God to bless me, watch this, so I could just pay my bills. I didn't go for God to just bless me so I can just have enough or I can have. No, I wanted God to bless me so that I could be a blessing. And I made a commitment to God. I remember that if you will bless me, there were some things that I would do. One of the things is I told him I'd always take care of Lady, because she's a good woman. She's a praying woman. She lives holy. She stood by my side. You got it? All those weeks throughout them years where every week at the end of the week, she would bring home her paycheck. We didn't have, you know, direct deposit and those kind of things back then. We were born in the 1900s. And so, anyways, she'd bring her check, I'd deposit and those kind of things. She didn't go to the nail shop, you got it, because nail shop wasn't in the budget, you got it, and so she went to the dollar store, and she got, you know, the 99 cent paint nail polish. Oh, it's not paint. Oh, nail polish. Praise the Lord. My bad. Nail polish remover that stunk up the house. Praise the Lord. You know. When she didn't go and get her hair done, because we understood the principle of stewardship. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? We understood the principle of stewardship, that God will give more to me if I show him I can be trusted with what I have right now. Does that make sense? And that is how we increase. And my whole thing was, God bless me so I could be a blessing. I never, you know, the life I live, I never actually imagined this. When Pastor Chad talked a few weeks ago that he'll do things far beyond you can ever ask or think, I really just wanted to I wanted to live decent, don't get me wrong, but I really wanted to be a blessing to other people. I saw myself, you know, giving, you know, $10,000 on a big giving day, $30,000 on a big giving. That's the way I did, but because my heart was to bless others, I think that God blessed me enough for me, and that I also had enough for somebody else. Does that make sense? And the reason I'm telling you that is because if you haven't been praying that way, or your heart's not geared that way, you need to make that shift. You got it. And as you make that shift, I believe that you'll see increase in your life. And so I'm learning this principle of giving in tough times. Got out of the Marine Corps and did very well in the Marine Corps, but I knew I wasn't supposed to stay in. Now I understand why I wasn't supposed to stay in. I was going to stay in. You know, I was going to become a Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. That was my goal, right? And I'm telling you, I was probably going to hit it because I was a hard charger, right? And so, but the Lord said, get out. I got out. And then I had landed, when I was in the Marine Corps, a job on base so that as soon as I got my discharge, honorable discharge from the Marine Corps, I go to working on base. I did that to find out they had me on third shift. Bottom line is I couldn't work a third shift job. I mean, I was like a walking zombie. It just wasn't work. It wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for Lady. It wasn't good for none of us, right? So we agreed that I was going to quit this job that back in 1999, it was making like $25 an hour. How many know back in 1999, $25 an hour was good? How many know today $25 an hour ain't bad, right? And so bottom line is I gave up the job, right? But I started spiritual momentum in my life. I believe that if I was willing and obedient, I would eat the good of the land. That I would get results if I would obey God. And so my pastor's teaching on this principle of giving. And so I was already giving, but I really released faith at another level. I even started to give more and those kind of things. And I really saw God do some amazing things in my life. I was working a $6.25 an hour job because I left that job and I had to go somewhere. And so I started working this $6.25 an hour job. And let me just tell you, that was the most frustrating season of my life. You got it. Because it was across the street in Jacksonville from Jacksonville High School. I think I was the only adult working. All the kids would come across the street. It was a telecenter where you do telemarketing and those kind of things. And you know, and I'm there. I'm a leader of Marines. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a hard charger. You got born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. You understand? Like, you know, I'm a husband and a father, and I'm sitting next to all these kids who think everything's funny. And it was just real frustrating, right? But I didn't let the job go. Because I understood that some money was better than no money. And if I was faithful in that which was least, that God would bless me with more. Does that make sense? And so, and God did just that. I held on to that, started the ice cream truck with some of you. And the reason I'm telling my testimony is because the Lord said, son, you got to start telling that again. There's so many more people coming and those kind of things. Most preachers don't like to repeat because they feel like someone say, oh, they repeat the same thing because they ain't got nothing else to say. But learning takes place through repetition. So whatever I hear on a consistent basis is what begins to shape me, right? And so I had an ice cream truck, and so I used my faith on the ice cream truck. Man, I was getting to the point where I was making a few thousand dollars a week on an ice cream truck selling popsicles, that kind of ice cream that we give away now. You understand what I'm saying? I was making thousands of dollars a week because I used my faith, and I knew that if my faith, you know, if faith was real, it would work in any area. And so I decided to work it in that area, and I saw God do amazing things in my life. And so, and I don't have time to tell you my whole testimony, and I think I'm going to do a faith seminar at some point where I can really break the whole components of faith and the ABCs of faith and really to get you to understand it. But God kept doing more and more. The Bible says that when you give, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that there would not be room enough to receive. And when he says to open the windows of heaven, he's not talking about literal windows in heaven where, you know, God is dumping out $100 bills. You understand? And you just walking down the road, $100 bills. You're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's not what it is, right? It has to do with insight and opportunity and inspired ideas and the favor of God that will open doors to cause you to walk into them even though you don't have degrees for it and those kind of things. And that's what happened with me. My wife and I got into some businesses, and we went from making $6.25 an hour to almost $2.7 million. A year. Watch this now. I had no degree. You got it. And I'm not knocking degrees. My baby girl's going to get one. I think education is good. I'm just telling you my story. You got it. Had no degree, but I had God's favor on my life, and I worked the faith process, and it got results. Does that make sense? And that is where the rubber meets the road. Will my faith in God's word and my application of God's word produce some things in my life, right? Now, of course, I have to keep my heart right because you have to understand that faith worketh by love. You got it? That love is the motivator and faith is the activator. So I've got to keep my heart right in every situation in my life. You got it? We've got to keep our heart. So that way, if we do mess up or make a mistake, thank God for 1 John 1 and 9. He's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you don't use that scripture to mess up on Monday and pray it on Tuesday, mess up on Wednesday and pray it on Thursday. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you have to have a heart that consistently says, Lord, I want to do the right thing. Does anybody have that heart like, man, look, I just want to do, I might not always hit the mark, but Lord, I want to do the right thing. I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to give you my very best. And so I learned this principle of giving that radically changed my life. So I'm going to talk to you about three things. That was all my introduction, all right? I'm going to talk to you about three things that I learned that my pastor taught me years ago as it relates to giving that really radically changed my life and increased my faith above what I had already been taught by my father on giving. Does that make sense? So let's jump in and listen to me. You got to get this. You got to get it. What did I say? You got to get this. Like your future depends on this. Amen. You got it. I'm not teaching on giving because something wrong with the church is doing amazing. I think y'all know that. You got it. So I'm not teaching on giving so that we can just get a good offering. We already received the offering. We're not about to receive another one, right? But I'm trying to show you that giving, you got it, is the avenue for you to live an amazing life. Giving is the avenue to break curses. You understand what I'm saying? Giving is the avenue to rebuke the devourer. Giving literally puts you in covenant with God. And so I want you to be a giver. I want you to be an affectionate giver, all right? And I want you to give on purpose out of principle, using your faith, believing God that when I release what's in my hand, God's going to release what's in his, and his hands are bigger than mine. Every week when I stand up, the first thing I tell you when we receive the offering is giving is not what? Yeah, giving, because I know you've seen games played, and I get it. You got it. But I'm not that guy, and this ain't that place. You understand? So you can't compare, because when you compare, you're unwise. You got it. I'm okay with people dumping on me. That happens to me all the time. I don't care about that. As long as you get it, and you know that pastor's teaching it from a pure heart, because he wants me to live an incredible life, and you start applying it, and you live an incredible life. That's all I care about. Does that make sense? And so that's the key, all right? So there's three things I learned. Everybody say number one. Number one, I learned that giving was God's plan. I learned that giving was God's plan, all right? It wasn't pastor's plan. It's not something in some self-help book that someone read along the way, but giving is literally God's plan. Genesis 8 and 22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. It's not going to stop. So as long as the earth remains, the Bible says there are going to be some constants. There's going to be some things that are going to happen, right? Cold and heat. It's going to happen sometimes in North Carolina in the same day, right? Summer and winter, sometimes in North Carolina in the same week, right? Day and night, you know, shall not cease. Well, it also says that seed time and harvest is not going to stop. And so, you know, if you don't like this principle of giving, you got to learn to, because it's God's plan. Does that make sense? Yeah. And 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter in the 6th verse says, remember this. Do what? So this is something you don't want to forget. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, here's the key, that blessings may come to someone else. The Lord really showed me that. Man, I was up a lot last night. And it wasn't because I was trying to be spiritual. You understand? I really wanted to sleep. I just could not sleep. I hear people talk about that. Now, I don't have insomnia, praise the Lord. Like, I don't even believe in putting that kind of stuff on me. I talk to people as I was up all night. I said, okay, everything goes. Yeah, I've got insomnia. It happens all the time. You have what you say. You got it. And so, you know, but that's not my thing. I was just up. And so since I'm up, I'm going to pray and I'm going to think about my lesson for the day. I'm going to pray for God's presence, you know, and just those kind of things. And so as I'm thinking about it, he says, son, that is the key. You know, he says, you have to teach the people, you got it, that they need to be blessed so they can be a blessing. But if they're in a particular place to be a blessing, that must mean that they have enough to meet all of their needs and even above their needs. Does that make sense? And so that's the key, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously with blessings. Verse 7, let each one give as he has made up his own mind, purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves. He does what? Okay, watch this. God loves. Not only does he love, he takes pleasure in. Not only does he take pleasure in, he prizes above other things. Not only does he prize above other things, he is unwilling to abandon or do without who? A cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. The Bible says he prizes above other things. You got it? So in my mind, my natural mind, you got it. I look at it as there's a list of things, but if I'm an affectionate giver, then I'm at the top of the list. Does that make sense? All right. So we got to keep reading. All right. Verse 8. And God is able. So the Bible. I told you that the Bible's full of prophecy, promises, and principles. Right. And so a lot of times you will see the principle, and then behind it you'll see the promise. Sometimes we call it the if-thens. If ye be willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the Lamb. If you obey and serve him, then you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. But you got to do the obedient part first if you want the other part, right? Well, the whole thing with giving and receiving, the Bible says, if I give, Luke 6 and 38, it's going to be given unto me. How, class? Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. He says, I will raise up men and women as the case may be and put you on their heart so they will be a blessing to you. Does that make sense? So when you are giving your tithe and your offering, I don't want you just giving it because Pastor said it's offering time or opportunity time. I want you to give it in faith, saying, Father, I thank you for favor. I thank you, you're raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I want you to do it in faith so you can see the promised blessing. So we see the if. In verse 6 and 7, let's look at the then in verse 8. And God is, or you could say we see the principle of giving. Now let's see the promise. In verse 8, and God is able, and I submit to you, not only is able, he's willing, to make all grace. What is that, Pastor? Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, under all circumstances, in whatever the need be, self-sufficient. It is God's will for every believer, every child of his, to be self-sufficient. It is not the will of God for you to be lacking in any area of your life. So I'm not just talking about money, y'all. I'm talking about any area of your life, all right? He says, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So at the end of the day, God wants you to have enough for you, enough for somebody else, and still have a grip left over. You got it? Y'all know what a grip is, right? Yeah, that's God's will for your life. For every payday, you're putting money into your savings, bunch of money into your savings, and it's not bothering the rest. You can still live the rest of your life. But watch this. But if you don't ever release faith for it, it's not going to come to pass. So you have to be intentional in your faith, all right? Is this good? God is looking for channels he can flow through. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you, all right? I learned this principle that if I served, if I sowed, and if I sacrificed, I'd see the supernatural. I learned this years ago, something that just God just really showed me. Of course, there's nothing new under the sun. I'm sure I've heard it somewhere, but I'm just saying it's just God brought it to my light that if I served, if I sowed, and if I sacrificed, I'd see the supernatural. Ask yourself the question, are you serving? Just think about the house of the Lord. Are you on the dream team? Are you helping in some area? Because it's a way that we give, right? And if not, just go sign up and just jump in somewhere. It's real easy. This is the most easiest church you'll ever come to. Because pastor ain't going to fuss at you. Come on, somebody. I ain't hear nobody say nothing. I'm not going to call you when you don't come to church. You understand what I'm saying? Like, well, this is the easiest place, to come, because we let you come at your own pace and really do whatever you want to do. We really do. Praise the Lord. But we teach you the word of God and pray that you'll take it and apply it in your life. We pray that you realize I need to serve in the house of God. I need to make a difference. I need to sow. I need to give up my tithe and my offering. I need to sacrifice. Sacrifice is when I go above my initial expectation, and that typically is between you and God. Most sacrifice has to do with you're in faith for something. You believe God for something, especially in the era of giving, and all of a sudden the Lord tells you, sow a $500 seed. You got it? You be like, huh? You know, but that's between you and God. Other than our one big giving day a year that I asked you to sacrifice on that. But you have to ask yourself, do I serve? Do I sow? Do I sacrifice? If you do those things, you are in a position to see the supernatural in your life. All right. So number one, we said that giving was God's plan. Everybody say number two. Number two, I learned that I must give consistently even when it's not ideal. I must learn to give consistently even when it's not ideal. So we must understand that waiting for everything to be right in our life to give and become good stewards will cause delay and disobedience. Delayed giving always equals a deferred harvest. I'm going to start giving when? You know, when I take care of this and when I take care of that and when I take care of that. How about you start giving and watch God help you take care of that? Does that make sense? Watch his favor show up in your life. So tough times are really no excuse not to give. It is actually the reason why we should give. You understand? God has given you enough right now for you to show him you can be trusted with more. You got it? And if you can't tithe off the $2,000 paycheck, you understand? How would you tithe off of a $20,000 or a $250,000 paycheck? Does that make sense? All right. Genesis 26 and 1. Watch this. There's a famine in the land, and Isaac sows in tough times. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. All right. Some people say Gerar. Verse 12. Drop down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. What land? The land where there was a famine. And received in the same year what class? See, I take this scripture for my life. So every time I sow, I say, Father, I thank you for the hundredfold this year in my life in Jesus' name. Sometimes I say this week. Sometimes I say today, right? But I'm in faith for the immediate hundredfold, and I have a right, justifiable right to believe for it because he received it. And the Lord, what? Blessed him. The word blessed means empowered to prosper. And the man waxed great and went forth and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of service, and the Philistines envy him. Once you start doing really, really good, unfortunately, jealousy takes place in the heart of people, and they start not liking you for no reason. But you can't worry about that. You keep your heart right, you got it, and be generous, you got it, live holy, and let the chips fall where they may. So God's not trying to get something from you, he's trying to get something to you, all right? Sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention, and it causes him to move in our lives, all right? Now giving can become difficult if you don't realize it's God's plan, all right? Watch this. We'll put these up on the screen. Letter A. It is difficult to give when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. So if my plan to have is valued above God's plan, then I'm not going to give the tithe and offering because I want to have right now. Not realizing when I release what's in my hand, God's going to release greater, that a supernatural transaction takes place. I have to have confidence that God's plan works better than mine. All right? Here we go. Letter B. It is difficult to give when I feel my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. Now, yeah, I mean, like, I want to give the tithe, you know, but they got these new J's out, and I was trying to get these new J's, right? Yeah, you know, no, or this is new dress, or just whatever, you got it, you know. No, I can't see giving as losing, but rather gaining. That if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life, all right? Letter C, it is difficult to give when it looks like God is better than others than he is to me. If I'm not careful, I will use comparison. You got it. And Paul teaches us, number one, that it's unwise when we compare. And then number two, comparison is the thief of joy. So you could be doing good in your lane. But if you're not careful, you look at somebody else and get upset because, well, Lord, look what you're doing. You don't know what that person went through to get what they got. So everybody say, stay in your lane. Yeah, and realize that God will keep increasing your lane and keep increasing your lane as long as you keep your heart right. Does that make sense? You know, and so it's a matter of the heart because so for some people, that's a struggle. It really is. That was never a struggle for me. I always wanted to be around people that have more than me. I did. I always wanted to be around people who were doing more, who had more, and I was never jealous. I was excited because I understood the same God that blessed them, if I work this principle, the same God is going to bless me. Because God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. So the Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. You got it? So when I see some of my pastor friends, I'm the guy that, you know, everybody can reach out to because they know I'm happy for everybody. Understand? Sometimes they say, you know, Mac, you're the only one I could tell this to, but I know you're going to be happy for me. Understand? They'll send me video, you got it, of their church. It ain't Easter Sunday, but it looks like Easter Sunday. And, you know, and I'll respond, look what the Lord has done. And I'll have all the shouting emojis. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I get excited when God does great things in other people's lives. Does that make sense? And I never actually think about what he's going to do in my life when I'm thinking about them, because I thank God for everything he's already done in my life. And you have to learn how to stop and thank God for the things he's already done in your life. Yes, he's going to do greater, but Father, I thank you for what you've already done in my life. Does that make sense? All right. Ooh, I'm getting excited, and I was trying not to get excited, all right? When I teach on giving, I try to be as less emotional as possible. Because I want you to hear the word and you make a decision. Am I going to do it or not going to do it? Now, Pastor said, if I give, the Lord, no. He's going to give me a BMW. Now, he might give you one day if that's the desire of your heart, but it's not going to be based on this lesson. Does that make sense? Yeah, ain't nobody going to go lying on me. I mean, they already do, but not, you understand what I'm saying? No. Letter D, it's difficult. I know we got to go home, Maestro. Just give me like 2 minutes. It's difficult when I allow others to dump their doubt and unbelief on me. Don't listen to folk like that. You got it? Paul says, avoid those who go against the doctrine that you've already learned. Right? So, you know, people say, well, giving never worked for me. I believe it. Because you probably never intentionally released faith for it. People put God on a clock. Lord, I'm going to start tithing in May. But come June, if I don't see nothing, Lord, it's over. Over. And then the Lord says, it's over now. You keep your little money. Right? Because giving is not. Exactly. All right. All right, Maestro, let's go home. Everybody say number three. I learned that I had to trust God as my source, because his hands were bigger than mine. And so it's like the man that goes to the river and he gets a big pail of water and he brings the pail home. And over a few days, the wife's using it for dishes, the daughter's using it just for a little thing, and the water begins to diminish. As the water diminishes, he doesn't get upset. He doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't start fighting with his spouse over what they don't have. You got it? Because he knows where he got came from. He can go right back to the river. He can go right back to the source. Well, and I love the song that they sang. When you understand he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, then when what you have on hand, watch this, begins to diminish, you don't have to get upset. You don't have to get frustrated. You got it. You don't have to fight with your spouse. You got it. You can just go right back to the river, Jehovah Jireh, right back to the source, right? And he says, prove me. Put me to the test. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven. He says, remind me of your merits. Let us reason together. So I can go to God and say, Father, I'm a giver. Like, I'm not just a giver. I'm a super duper giver. I sacrifice. I'm allowed to talk to God like that. Right? And your word says, now I'm putting a demand on his word. You got it? That, Lord, this is so Father, this lack don't belong. I curse lack at the authority of the name of Jesus. So I'm not mad at God, you understand? But I'm going to God because he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the author and finisher of my faith. So he says, come to me, you understand? So I'm going to him, you got it? And now I'm cursing what don't belong to me, you got it? That's not my portion, and I'm declaring what is my portion. I decree increase belongs to me. Father, your word says, you got it? And then I start declaring his word in my life on favor. And I start declaring his word on my life on increase and those kind of things. And now there's a joy because I'm in expectation and anticipation that, watch this, that I have believed that I receive right now that things are working for me, that things are changing for my good. And I do that, watch this, not just sometime, but I do it all the time, over and over and over. And watch this. And when the blessings start coming, the question is, will you pass the test? You know, I mean, $200. What's the tithe on $200? I give the Lord $20. You got it. But all of a sudden, you something happened, and you got a $20,000 check. And you're like, whoo, I've never seen it on this wise. Right? What's the tithe on $20,000? You're like, well, now, Lord, that's a little different. We got to talk about that. But yesterday, you didn't have no money. And today, God bless you with $20,000. So you understand what I'm saying? It's a matter of the heart. So now, I will gladly, watch this. Let me help y'all. I got to go, but let me help y'all. I will gladly return the tithe to the Lord because it belongs to him anyways. It's not mine. It's the accursed thing. It's the holy thing. It's the thing that's set apart. When you keep it in your house, it's cursed. But when you give it to him, the 90% is blessed. I ain't even talked about offering. Let's just stick on tithe today. Right? But, you know, so Monday I had nothing. Tuesday, no, let's do this. Let's do, we'll stick with that. Monday, I had nothing. Friday, I had nothing. Tuesday, I got $20,000. Friday, I had nothing. What's the next day after Friday? Saturday, yes. Saturday, focus in Jesus' name. Saturday, you got it, I have $20,000. Sunday, I give a tenth. I return it to the Lord, all right? I give back what belongs to him. How much I have now left, Pastor Pat? I have $18,000. But what did I have on Friday, Pastor Pat? Had nothing, right? You got it? And so now I went from nothing to, after giving the Lord what belongs to him, $18,000. I'll do that every week, week in and week out for the rest of my life. Does that make sense? And let me tell you, that happens in our life all the time. I live a supernatural life, and that's why I declare same grace. That's why, you know, you giving to me for my birthday, don't take this the wrong way. That was more for you than it was for me. I appreciate the seed, you got it? But I know that when you sow into my life, there's a grace that's on me that gets on you. So I y'all bless me good, right? You know, I don't normally tell my business, but I'm going to tell a little bit of it, all right? So actually, that's not true. I tell a lot of my business, but anyways. But in this area of giving, I don't tell my business. Lady and I give all the time. When I say all the time, right? Sometimes there's weeks in a 7-day week, we've given to somebody different 5 days in a week, right? And please don't text me to ask me, have I heard from the Lord? I hear from the Lord every day. And so y'all were so good to me on my birthday that I was like, you know, after 15%, because that's what we do, tithes and offering, I still had a lot, right? So I was like, man, I'm going to be a blessing. You got it? And so Lady and I started being a blessing, you know, to different people. Can I tell some of the things we did, or should I not? Yeah. And so it's just things. It's really Holy Spirit. It's not, no one says anything. So I think that Lady has saw that that Shannon had put on the thing. It's teacher's appreciation. I can't remember what she said, but she was just having fun with it, you know. And it was a Stanley cup, right, with all kind of stuff in it. And Lady came to me. I said, yeah, okay, let's do it. You got it. She's like, well, we ought to surprise her. And so, but watch this. So then I was like, that's good. So we go and we go to get one Stanley cup. You got it. Y'all know how much Stanley cups are? Okay, praise the Lord. All right. So we go to get one. But then we're there. And I started thinking, about lady sister Veronica. And, you know, we've been going to her for dental for years. Her staff is just so nice. And when we go there, it's like we only see them twice a year to get our teeth clean, right? But they're asking, how's Jay doing? How's Hannah doing? It's like they know our family, right? And I was like, well, let's bless them. So we called them to find out how many staff members they had. And so we bought Stanley cups for the entire staff. And then Lady was going to put some flowers in them. I said, well, let's see how much it is to go to Odom's and do it that way. It was a lot of money. The flower business is a good business to be in. I mean, to decorate one cup was like $40 or $50. You got it? Huh? On top of the cup, right. Yeah. And so we did that, and we're like, we can't just leave it alone. We got to add something to it. So we put some Ulta gift cards in it, right? You got it? And we went and we dropped them off. I wanted to hurry up and leave. You got it? But Lady likes to see him and hug people. I like to bless people on the fly. You understand what I'm saying? Like my pastor, sometime I'll drive up to his house, I'll put a check on the front door, and I try to drive off real quick. By the time, he got a long driveway. So by the time I get to the end of the driveway, he's calling me. You got it? He's like, you doing a drive-by? I'm like, I just want to be a blessing. You got it? But why am I saying this? I'm not trying to, you know, make myself look good. What I'm saying is our heart is always to give. And if you set your heart, you got within your lane. Now, please understand, I'm not telling you to do what I'm doing. But if you would set, If you set your heart to give within your lane and be intentional about it, I promise you, you will see God do exceeding abundantly far above all that you can ask or think. Stand up. We got to go. It's 10:32. Stand up. We got to go. All right. So look, but when it comes to stewardship, giving is at the top. What did I say? So you might can't do all that other stuff if you're not tithing yet. You just start with tithing and watch the increase come. And as the increase comes, then do some little things here or there. But make it up in your mind that from today forward, number one, I'm never going to rob God. I'm always going to return to him what belongs to him. And then I'm going to be in faith for that incredible, abundant life. Father, we thank you for this lesson today. And Father, I thank you for Holy Spirit communicating it in a way that it meets the spiritual needs of every person that's in this place. I declare, Father, 100% tithers at WLCC. And I thank you that as a result of them obeying God, that, Father, that you bless them immensely, that their eyes haven't seen, neither have their ears heard, and neither has it entered into their hearts. They don't even know what's coming because of their obedience. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.